Okay, but let's start. So I told you I would do an overarching theme this week, so it's really not that complicated. Even if you don't have it, it's fine. So I want to bring together a lot of the ideas maybe I've mentioned here and there. You could, if you want, you could do stop first in the back. You'll be fine. Yeah. So I think that one of the themes that emerges from Shema, and I think it makes a lot of sense, but I want to prove it to you, is that since Shema is about how do you develop love of God / how do you express love of God, so I think the simplest answer would be what we call in Hebrew tmidut, right? Tamid. Now, what does tamid mean? What does tamid mean? What? It means continuous, but there's two different ways it means continuous. So either consistent or constant. But sometimes tamid means consistent, sometimes it means constant, right? Chazaka, yes, I know. Right, I brought it up in Chazaka also. But I think that what you'll notice is that the mitzvot that are described in Shema across the Prakim emphasize both of these elements. And again, I think the reason is very simple. Because if you want to develop love of God, or if you want to express it, the best way to develop an emotion, an experience, an attitude is by constant or consistent reinforcement. And the best way to express that type of attitude is through consistent and constant reinforcement. Now, where in halacha do you see the notion that tamid can either mean consistent or constant? There's a halachic place where this comes up. What? By the karban tamid, and more specifically, where is there a machloket about it? Because by karban tamid, it definitely means consistent, not constant. But there's one place in Shas where there's a machlokas about whether it's constant or consistent, and that is, we did it last year, lechem apanim, right? Where the Gemara, number two, says, machnisim omdim b'tzafon v'nem l'darma matzin, omdim b'darma v'nem b'tzafon, elu moshchen v'elu manichin, v'tzvacho shel zek, k'neged tzvacho shel zek, sh'nemar l'fanai tamid. The Tanakhama says, how do you get the bread on the table tamid? One group stands there waiting for the other group to leave, and then as one group pulls away the bread, you put it on. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Eilu Notlun Ve'el Manichen Af Hi Haita Tamid. Rabbi Yossi says, no, even if one takes and the other puts, that's fine. Now, why is that at all relevant to Shema? Why is that relevant to Shema? You tell me before you look. See how much you remember from last year. You're punter, right? How much you remember from last year is that the Gemara takes this as the source for what? What does it mean by of learning Torah all the time? And the Gemara number three says, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Yomar, Afilu Silgit Shana Shachar, Afilu Silgit Chadasha Arvit, Ein Bekach Klum. Rabbi Yossi says, even if you put one on in the morning, took it off at night, right, that's fine. Elamani mekayim lefanai tamid. So what does tamid mean? Shlo yalin shulchan v'lo lechem, that you can't go a night without it. Amar of Ami midvarav sherob yosi nilmod afilu lo shana adam el perek echad shacharit uperek echad aravit. What you learn from here is that even if you only, what? Learn Torah one paragraph during the day and one at night, you fulfill kei mitzvah lo yimush tefer Torah zamibicha. Even if you do it once a day, once at night, you fulfill the chiyuv to learn Torah of lo yamush. It never left your mouth. And then the Gemara says, and what is the minimal way of expressing that? Shema. The Amar of Yochanan, Shem Rishim Yochai, Afil lo kara adam, ela kriyat shma shacharit v'arvit, kiyem lo yamush, v'davar zeh, sur lo amro b'fneam ha'aretz, v'ravar mitzvah lo amro b'fneam ha'aretz. The question of, and then the Gemara says, either it's usher to tell an Amaretz, because you don't want them to think that they can get away with just learning, just saying Shema, or it's a mitzvah to tell them, because it gives them hope that maybe they're actually fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, I think that this already should get us to what I want to set out as a theme of it, which is, what is the Gemara really telling you? That Shema is the expression, the minimal expression, admittedly, of Talmud Torah. What type of Talmud Torah? Of Tamid. Right? Of whatever Tamid means, in this case, I mean, what consistent, the minimal of that is Shema. And that already tells you that there seems to be a theme in Shema that's about Tamid. But if you look at the Avudraham seems to tell you that this isn't just accidental. This seems to be the key to understanding all of Shema. So if you look at number four, the Avraham says, so this is a machlokas, whether you have to understand it. Possibly not, right? The Shulchan Aruch Harav, for example, says you don't need to understand Talmud Torah as long as you're learning Torah Shebichtav. You need to understand Torah Shebaal Peh, but Torah Shebichtav, you're Yotzei Talmud Torah, even if you don't understand it, because the words themselves are Kadosh. Now look at the Avudraham. The Avudraham tells you, what's the theme? Ot timsa asara mitzvah asay kvuot b'parsha zo. What you find in Shema are 10. What's mitzvah kavua? It's now set. What are they? Achat, kabbalat ol malchut shemayim. One is the acceptance of heaven. Shneamar Hashem Elokeinu. Shenit, yichud Hashem, is the belief that God is one. Shneamar Hashem Echad. Shlishit, Avad Hashem, Shneamar v'avta Hashem Elokecha. Revi'it, Talmud Torah, Shneamar v'dibar tabam. Five, Chamishit, Libum Banim, Shneamar Shemantim Lo'anecha. Teaching your children Torah, why is that constant? Why is that a mitzvah of Kavua? Why is that Tamid? Because it's cross-generational. It's cross-generational. It's saying teach your children. It's not saying learn Torah. That's one. It's also teach your children, meaning make sure Torah is consistent over generations. Right? Shishit u'shviit l'krov kriyat shema shacharit v'arvit. Six and seven are the morning and night shema. Shminit u'tshiit tvilin shel yad v'shel rosh. Eight and nine is tvilin, clearly tamid of consistent, once a day. But also constant, because originally you were supposed to wear it all day, but minimum of once a day. Asirit is mezuzah, which is which one, constant or consistent? Constant. He says, furthermore, what else do you find? In addition to all these kavua, what else do you find in Shema? Timsa rashei aguf and iskarimba, you find every part of the body. Shema, oznayim, totafot, Beninecha, Einayim. Vidibarta, Lashon. Vishinantem, Lishinayim. What? So he's talking just in Vahavta. I think it's true over all three, because Tzitzit is like that too. But he's talking even just in the first paragraph, but I think it's true of Tzitzit also. Kshartem, Yadayim. Yamin u'smol, right? You tie with the right on the left, or vice versa if you're lefty. Uvelechdecha, Raglayim, Halev v'hanefesh, obviously, b'chol avavcha v'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol ha'nefesh, ha'af, sheba meshiv ha'ruach. Nefesh usually means, can also mean where you breathe, right, your life force. So the af, v'azhara mi'yitzer hara, and even your yitzer hara, sh'nemar, sh'itcha v'beitecha v'lo v'reecha, right, that's a nice little one, which is you should be in your house and not your friend's house with his wife, but fine, but... Or if you have the third paragraph, obviously, Lo Tatur Achar Levavchem Achar Einechem is focusing on the sexual desire. But I think what the Avudraham tells you very quickly is that the key to understanding Shema, he says Vahavta, but I would say all three paragraphs, is that commitment to God that's expressed in Kriyat Shema needs Tamid. Right? Needs both types of tamid, consistency and constancy, and therefore all the mitzvot are there, and it manifests itself through every part of the body. And again, I think that the basic theme, again, if I had to summarize in one sentence, is because it's constancy and consistency that both reflect a relationship and generate one. And since the point of Shema is to make us love God and tell us how to express that love, the mitzvot that are characterized, that are quoted in Shema, are those that are about this notion of tamid. Yes. Good, right? So obviously different ones here have different expressions, because some of them are constant, really, and some of them are consistent, but not always, but most of the time, unless in the case of tefillin, they're replaced by another oath, right? Meaning, the way Chazal understand it is you need to have an oath always, either tefillin or Shabbat. Yes, Gavi said the same thing, exactly. Gavi said the same thing, right? Is it consistent or constant? What do you need for a chazaka? Yes, it's the exact same. I mean, not the exact same, but yes, basically the same principle. And I think that's the theme. And I gave you here in English a very nice article. Yeah, again, because I originally only gave this to be on PDF, you know, on the computer, so it didn't matter how long it was. It's better for it to be longer so that I can just, you know, and more spread out so people can see it on the screen. But I put Michael Hatton's article where he makes this point. Right, that what follows are four verses that together stress a single idea, constancy. Thus, we are enjoined to place these things upon our hearts, to repeatedly teach them to our children, speak of them, tie them on our hands and between our eyes, and inscribe them on our doorposts. Now, I'm not going to read it inside, that you have it here, but he adds a few elements to what you have in the Abu Draham. So he says, first of all, Vishinantem. What does Vishinantem literally mean? But repeat, exactly. It's to teach it twice, to teach it multiple times. So not only is Talmud Torah repetitive and constant, but the word we choose, Vishinantem, is that you should teach it constantly. And in fact, according to Chazal, what do you learn by Vishinantem? Which I've said many, many times. If you forget this, it'll be ironic. Kedushin Daf Lamed, Shetehei, what? That they'll be so sharp in your mouth from Shinun, that if someone asks you a question, you have to stutter, you can say it instantly. Meaning, the way Chazal understand it is, you should know Torah well enough that you don't even hesitate when someone asks you. What they're clearly telling you is the type of Talmud Torah Kriyat Shema is demanding is not just knowledge, but knowledge that becomes part of you. Furthermore, it's not just Torah, it's teaching the next generation, right? It's teaching the next generation, which obviously gets a different level of tamidut because it's, right, across history. And of course, the emphasis is you're learning, so just think about the words in Shema. You will say either learn Torah or say Shema, depending on how you understand that pasuk, or both according to Chazal, when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk, when you're sitting. Right? Everything about it is telling you that Shema and Torah, which is the two meanings of the words that you're talking about, is at every moment of your life, wherever you are, no matter what you're doing. You're learning, you're thinking about God. Now, right, tefillin, right, the Karaites say that tefillin isn't physical. It just means think about God constantly. But even if we think that it's physical tefillin, I mean, they're right, that the point of tefillin is to get you to think about God constantly and to direct your heart. Correct, but tefillin especially, where you put it on your head, on your arm, facing your heart, right, is clearly in a different level trying to tell you that constantly you direct your thoughts, your emotions and your actions to God. Mezuzah, I don't even have to tell you, right? Mezuzah is literally on your house all the time. And remember, the way Chazal understand it, think about what the Rambam says. Right? The Rambam says, what's the purpose of tefillin? So that whenever you go into your house or you come out, you think about God. And what does he say? And if you wear your tefillin and you wear your tzitzis and you wear your, and you have a mezuzah on your door, bechazaka, that you'll never sin. Why? Because if you're constantly thinking about God, you're wrapped in godliness and your house is wrapped in godliness, you won't sin. Meaning, the mitzvah that are highlighted in Shmar are these ones that are supposed to be constant reminders, because that makes sense. Again, that both generates love and expresses love of God. That makes sense. And again, it's most pronounced in the first paragraph, but I think it secondarily expresses itself in the second paragraph, which obviously overlaps with the first in many ways, but also tzitzis is like that. And even the other mitzvot in the third paragraph of Lo zasuru achar levavchem v'acharei einechem, don't think about avodah zarah, don't think about arayot. Right? Every mitzvah that's in Shema is really of this type. And obviously, thinking that God is one, thinking that loving God, all of this is that. Now, I think that it gives us a explanation of the following phenomenon picked up by Rav Schwab. And that is the following. He notes that the mitzvot mentioned in Shema are the ones that Chachamim considered absolutely vital to the very existence of our individual and national life. Now, I think that makes sense, right? The mitzvot that are most constant and consistent are the ones that are most essential to our life. And how does he prove it? I mentioned this to Yosef last week, but now let me prove it. How does he prove it? Because every mitzvah in Shema, basically, in the first paragraph at least, has a story in the Gemara about someone who risked their lives for it, whether or not it's Yehareg Val Yavor. And I think this is a fascinating insight. Because at the end of the day, we already talked about how Chazal derived from the first Pasuk, the big three. Right? Avodah Zarah, even afilu notel et nafshecha, even if he takes your life. But there are many mitzvot that are clearly not Yehareg Val Yavor, and yet Chazal tell the story that people risked their lives for it. And I think the reason is because, again, there's a machlokes we've shown him. The Rambam thinks that if it's not one of the big three, you're not allowed to give up your life for it. Tosfot thinks if it's not one of the big three, you don't have to, but you can. Okay? But even the Rambam might agree, as the Mukhei Yosef argues, that if it creates a particular Kiddush Hashem, because you're the Gadol HaDor or something, you might be allowed to. And even if you don't think the Mukhei Yosef is right, within the Rambam, even the Rambam will agree that if it's a time of persecution, so the Gemara tells you, that then you do give up your life even from mitzvah kala. So however you're about to understand the Gemara is going to look at, you have to keep that in the back of your mind. But the fact remains that the Gemara tells you about pretty much every mitzvah in Shema that people were willing to risk their lives for it. So, let's go through the mitzvah. So, Yichud Hashem, Avad Hashem, that arguably is one of the big three. Yes? Right? Meaning that's arguably wrapped up in Avodah Zarah. But there's another time that Yichud Hashem comes up in a story of martyrdom, of someone willing to give up their life for God. When is that? Rabbi Akiva, who dies while saying Kriyat Shema, right? While being Miyached Hashem. And remind me again, we did this story already, so we don't have to read it inside, but remind me, why did Rabbi Akiva end up being killed? What was his crime? He taught Torah in public. And what was the mashal he gave? Why did he teach Torah even though it risked his life? It's like the mashal of the fish, that they were scared because they were being chased by the fishermen. So the fox invited them to live on land. And they said, look, if we go on land, we'll definitely die. So I might be scared, but I'm willing to risk it because that's certain death. Which means that the Torah is telling you that Rabbi Akiva was willing to give up his life for Talmud Torah. Again, according to Tosfot, you would just say you're allowed to give up your life for any mitzvah. According to Rambam, it was Shad Hashmad. It was a time when they were trying to wipe out Judaism. But however you think you have to justify it halachically, the fact remains that the Gemara tells you a story in which Rabbi Akiva was willing to give up his life to teach Torah. What about tefillin? Yosef? Rabbi Elisha ben Kanafayim, and number 9, the Shabbos Mentet, the Gemara says, why do they call him Rabbi Elisha ben Baal Kanafayim? So Avamai Karele Baal Kanafayim, Shapam Achad Gozer Malchut Romi Arisha Shmad Al Yisrael. The Romans once said that nobody is allowed to wear tefillin. They would crush the skull or pierce the skull of anyone who wore tefillin. Vaya Elisha Manicha Meyote Lashuk. So Elisha went out into the shuk. Ra'o kazdor echad ras mevanav ras achav. Someone saw him wearing tefillin and he chased him. The came and shigi etzlo natlo menorosh v'achim v'yadosh. So he took off his tefillin and put it in his hands. Amar lo maze v'yadecha. He said, what is it in your hands? Amar lo kanfeyona. It is wings of a bird, of a dove. Pashat et yadov v'nimsu kanfeyona. He opened his hand and it had turned magically. It's like the first magic trick. It's not a rabbit, but it's a dove. It's a bird. He took the bird out of his hat, and l'ficha koron d'Elisha ba'al kanafayim. Now, what you see in this story is that Elisha ba'al kanafayim was willing to risk his life for tefillin. Good. What about mezuzah? We've gotten Torah, we've gotten tefillin, we've gotten yichud Hashem. What about mezuzah? Thank you. Very good. Unkelis. What story is Yosef referring to? So the Gemara says that Unkelis converted, but that put his life in danger because he was related to the emperor. So the emperor sent officers to bring him. The first one, he teaches them Torah. The second one, he teaches them Torah. Finally, the emperor says, don't talk to him, because if you talk to him, you're going to get converted. So they managed to not let him talk until he is dragged out of the door. And what does he do? He grabs the mezuzah, right? And he kisses the mezuzah. And the officers say to him, what are you doing? And he says, aha! Because you, when it comes to human beings, guards stand outside to protect the king. But when it comes to God, the king stands outside to protect us. So you have this story of Unkelis putting his life on the line. And it's not that he's putting his life for mezuzah. Mezuzah is actually what? Saves his life and makes the officers put their lives on the line, be willing to leave the emperor for God. So that means that Yichud Hashem, Talmud Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah all get stories in which someone is willing to give up his life for God. What about, does this carry over to the second paragraph? So the second paragraph starts off with Vayam Tishmu El Mitzvotai Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Etchem Hayom Li'avad Adonai Eloheichem L'avdo B'chol Levavchem B'chol Nafshechem. So what is Avdo B'chol Levavchem according to Chazal? Tefillah, right? Rashi quotes it. Avodashi B'alev Izui Tefillah. Very good. What about Tefillah? Is Tefillah a mitzvah for which you can give up your life? Oh, have I finally stumped you? Very good. The Mishnah in Bracha tells you that ain omdin lehit tpalel alamitoch kovid rosh. You have to dive in when you're serious. Chasidim arishon alayisham shachad and bank kadesh chavnu libam lamakam mafilu amelach shol b'shlomo lo yishimenu. That even if the king stops you during tefillah, you don't respond. Mafilu nachash karo chal akiva lo yafsek. And even if there's a snake on your heel, you don't stop. Now the Gemara walks it back. Right, the Gemara walks it back and says, obviously not a poisonous snake, except the Gemara tells a story in which someone does put his life on the line for tefillah. Number 13, Afilu Amelech Shoel Bishlomo Lo Yishivenu. Even if the king asks him how he's doing, he shouldn't respond. Amar of Yosef Lo Shanu Al Malchi Yisrael Malchi Unam Olam Posek. So the Gemara says that's only Jewish kings, but a non-Jewish king, stop, because your life is actually in danger. I mean, the Gemara is walking it back. So you would have said, aha, this proves my thesis. Because the Gemara walks it back and says, you don't give up your life for tefillah. Except Then the Gemara says, "Mekve amitvalver on asbak connecto raw karm bak connecto loyim asikam chaser oleh." But wait a second! If you see a robber coming, you shouldn't stop. You should just daven shorter. So the Gemara says, "No, lo kasher the efshar lekaser. If you can daven quickly and still protect your life, you should do that. But obviously, don't give up your life. But then, after twice telling you you don't give up your life for tefillah, what does the Gemara do? It tells you a story. Tana Rabbanan. There was once a chassid who was davening, and an officer came and they greeted him. He didn't greet him back. He waited till he finished davening. After he finished davening, Amar lo, Reka, you idiot! The Torah says protect your life. Now I will note in parentheses that everyone says, oh, the reason you have to protect your life in Torah is because v'nishmartem olam avshotechem. The only person in all of Shas who says that is a Roman officer. So keep that in mind next time you try posking that way. Right? Some Rishonim nevertheless quote it, like the Rambam, but most Rishonim don't. Most Rishonim quote different psukim for that reason. What? There are many different psukim. I wrote an article about this years ago. I published it in Verapo Yerapai 4. One second. When I said hello, why didn't you say hello back? I'd cut your head off. Who would have asked me about it? Wait for me to calm you down. He said, if you were by a king and someone had said hello, would you say hello back? Amar lo, said no. And if they did, what would you do? What would have happened to you if you greeted someone else while talking to the king? Amar lo, yodchin et roshi b'sayv. They would cut my head off. Amar lo, v'lo dvarim kal v'chomer. Uma atasha yitomid l'vnei melech v'asar v'dam shayom kanu machar b'kever kach. If that's true of a human king who's going to die tomorrow, ani shayiti omid l'vnei melech malchayam lochem ha-kodesh baruch hushu chay l'kayim l'ola l'ad ulo me'olamim. God, who lives forever, Allah gamem kama, miyad nitfayes, oto hahegmon, v'niftar oto chasve veito v'shalom. So he let him go, and he went. Now, Yosef tries to counter-read it, and he says, no, he knew he'd be able to convince him. Now, that doesn't sound like that was going on here, but you could read it that way. But who doesn't read it that way? Give me a good reason from Tanakh to think that tefillah might actually be a Harg Val Yavor? Daniel, Perek Vav. Daniel in the lion's den. Why does he end up in the lion's den? Because they made a decree that anyone who requests anything from anyone who davens will be put to death. And what does Daniel do? Not only does he daven, but very good. He goes up to the top floor, opens up the window for all to see, and daven towards Yerushalayim, which ends up with him being thrown in the lion's den. So it's not just the Gemara. Tanakh tells you a story, and based on these two stories, you shouldn't be surprised that the Sefer Chassidim actually concludes, number 15, and he says, there was a chassid. He tells you the story in Brachot. Right, there's a chassid who was davening and didn't stop for the hegemon. Hare adam machmer atzmo b'tefillah. Aval bishem mitzakein b'nafsho b'tov oseh. He says you're not obligated to, but you're allowed to. It's a good thing to do to give up your life for tefillah. Proof, kemosha atzad Daniel. You know, it's a perek in Tanakh. Daniel did it. Aval bishem goes ramesh shalil yipalel v'chein amru afil nachash karach alakev lo yavzik. And that's what the Gemara meant in pshat, when it said that even if you have a snake on your heel, you shouldn't stop. It wasn't. The Gemara was walking it back in terms of a chiyuv, but it's still the right thing to do. So I think you take this evidence together, Rav Schwab's insight, and Rav Jahan's insight, and Rav Hatton's addition, and I think you get something very fascinating that I think takes us through all three prakim of Shema, which is, very simply, if... For sure. Right, but very simply, if Shema is the paragraph in which we talk about our commitment to God, then we want to talk about what it means to love God and how to get to the point that we love God. So it makes sense that the mitzvah that we'll include will be the ones that express the basic truth about relationships, which is they are created by consistency and constancy, meaning in a healthy relationship, you should love your wife more after years of marriage than you did when you got married, simply because you've spent years investing in your relationship. And if you love someone, that's the way you should express it. And the same is true of God. And therefore, the mitzvot that get put here are Yichud Hashem, Avod Hashem, obviously, but tefillin, which you do ideally all day, but at least every day, and put it on your head, your heart, and your arms, which highlight what you're supposed to commit to God, your mind, your emotions, and your actions. Mezuzah, which is on your house whenever you go in and whenever you go out. Tzitzis, in the third paragraph, which you wear all the time, which are supposed to remind you about God so you don't sin. Right? That's what it is. Tfilah, which you do multiple times a day, at least according to Chazal, or at least once a day, according to the Rambam, midoraisa. But we experience it constantly, right? Or at least consistently. Talmud Torah, which is described as when you're, or Shema, when you get up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night, when you're walking, no matter where you are, and even the Torah, the words we use, it's the teaching of the next generation, which is consistency across time, and Vishinazem, which itself means repeat. Every word and every mitzvah emphasizes that the secret to Shema is consistency, and as the Abu Draham notes, it's also every limb in your body, because it's also totality. Right? Commitment comes from totality of your body, right? The way we say, give all of yourself to the cause, right? Give all of yourself. Yeah, that's what it means. Give all of yourself. So therefore, tefillin, which is on your head, between your eyes, on your arm, near your heart, right? Mezuzah on your house. Love, which happens in your heart and your soul, whatever that means, right? And the soul, the life force from the nose. Bein einecha, right? We've gotten the eyes. Shema, which focuses on the aura, right? On the auditory, right? We talk about every sense because that's the key. If you want to know what it means to get to the point where you love God and express it all the time, across generations, and with every part of your being. That is, in a nutshell, the secret to all of Shema. And that's why following Rishab, it makes a lot of sense that the mitzvot that will be found there, even if they're not technically Harig Val Yavor, the Gemara tells you stories of people risking their lives. Now, you could explain everyone about Shad HaShema, and that may be true, but why is it that, coincidentally, the Romans are specifically picking on Talmud Torah and Tefillin and Mezuzah, sort of, and Tefillah? Why are those the ones that the Gemara tells you stories about when the Romans picked on someone and they had to risk their life for it? Because these are essential to what our life is about. These are those mitzvot. So even if you're not technically chayav to give up your life for them, it makes sense that people would be asked to. And tefillah, which is not in the first paragraph, but it's in the second paragraph of Chazal, is literally a perek in Tanakh where Daniel does just that. And a Gemara, which seems to be like that, Sefer Chassidim, is willing to say, yeah, you don't have to give up your life, but it really is the right thing to do. Which I'm not saying that halachically, but my point is it makes sense thematically with Shema. No, I think that's why I said I think it works both ways. It's both what brings us to love of God and what expresses it, right? And like I said, the mashal to human relationship works, right? In marriage, the more you put into the relationship, the more you will care about each other. And the more you care about each other, the more you put into a marriage, right? They're self-reinforcing. The same is true with God. If you love God, you will express it through these mitzvot that happen all the time. And if you don't yet love God, but you spend all day thinking about God, and you actually do what you're supposed to with mezuzah and whatever, which is think about God and that he protects you every time you go into your house, you will end up loving God, right? It works both ways. And if you look at 16, right, this is how the Rambam describes mezuzah. Chayav adam lizayir b'mezuzah m'nishni chobat kol tamid. You have to be really careful with mezuzah, which is an obligation all the time. What does that mean? Kolzman shikanes v'yitzei. Whenever you go in and out, yizgah b'yichud Hashem shmosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you hit the name of God. V'yizkor ahavato, and you remember your love. Your mishnato, it'll awaken you from your slumber. V'shikinotav v'le'azman, your mistakes. V'yedash ein davar ha'omed la'olam lo'me olamim el yidiyah tzura olamim, and you'll know that nothing stands forever except for God. It will inspire you to follow the right path, right? And this is the point, Joe. It's both directions. It's, you put up the mezuzah to express your love, but if you actually focus the mezuzah, it'll bring you to love. And that's what Chazal mean when they say, anyone who has a tefillin on his head and arm, and sits it on his clothing, u'mezuzah bibitcho, and a mezuzah on his door, mu'chzah kushalo yecheta, he won't sin. Sharei yesh lo maskir in rabbim, because you have so many things reminding you about God. Ve'hein ha'malachim shamatin lo ma'achto, that's the malachim that save you from sin. Shemar chone malach Hashem, saviv lo yavach ha'tzeim. So, that's why I said, I think that the overarching theme of all of Shema, all three paragraphs, in a nutshell, could be boiled down to this. If you want to become the type of person who loves God and you want to show God that you love him, both directions, right? And it constantly reinforces. The more you do it, the more you love God. The more you love God, the more you're going to want to do it. Pay particular attention to the mitzvot that express that quality of tamid, of totality, of time and the body, right? And that's what the Abu Dram is telling you. Shema, morning and night, when you're walking, when you're lying down, wherever you are. Talmud Torah, the same. Mezuzah, always on your house. Tzitzis, always on your body. Tefillin, ideally always on your body, but at least once a day on your head, right? If you do that all the time, and you realize that it's encompassing every part of your body, then you will come to love God, and you'll express your love in God. And I think that is the theme, right, in a nutshell, of that permeates all three paragraphs of Shema, most intensely, obviously, the first paragraph, but in terms of the overlap in the second paragraph plus the addition of tefillah. And even in tzitzis, I think this has it, because again, tzitzis, what is it supposed to remind you to do? To not even stray in your thoughts against God. If there is a mitzvah that expresses consistency and commitment to God, which is make sure that even in your thoughts you don't think about things that lead you astray from God, that would be it. What? That's tzitzis, according to the third paragraph, right? Where the tzitzis, and then lo tatur, wachar levalchem, wachar enechem. So in that sense, I really do think that it goes through all of it. And, you know, I have quoted this before. Rav Amital liked to quote it as well. But if you look at the Midrash that's quoted in Yaakov about what are the most important psukim in the Torah, so Ben Zoma says Shema Yisrael, Ben Nana says V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha, and Shimon Ben Pazi says HaKeves Echad Taseh B'Boker HaKeves Echad Taseh Ben Arabayim, which Rav Amital always used to say. What does he mean? That stability and consistency are a great principle in Jewish education. That's why the Tamid, once in the morning, once in the night, in the end, that's the key to the Torah. But the other pasuk there is Shema Yisrael, meaning Shema, in a certain sense, shares that with the Tamid. Right, the Tamid is obviously more explicit about it being about consistency, but I think with this analysis, you realize Shema does that too. Okay, so that I think is the theme of Shema's, you know, the theme of what is the key to getting to that level of love of God and maintaining it. And with that, I covered a little bit of mezuzah and tefillin. I think next week we'll talk about the difference between the second paragraph and the first paragraph, and actually cover a little bit of ground. Look at that. I eventually did get through it, even though I did like a word a week. I did eventually move through it.